the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and life-giving Spirit. Amen. Where then does wisdom come from? Always a provocative question. And today it comes from Job, a good and faithful man who's having a very fine day, very rough day. So the question that came to my mind when I first read the scripture for today is, what does wisdom have to do with storms? So let's explore that. But before discussing scripture, I want to make a distinction between wisdom and knowledge. Because there's sometimes a tendency to confuse being smart about something or accomplished with being wise. A distinction that rang true to me is this. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and information. Wisdom is the synthesis of knowledge and experiences into insights that deepen one's understanding of relationships and the meaning of life. Or as my techie sister-in-law says, knowledge is data, wisdom is what you do with it. In the verses that precede the posing of this question about the source of wisdom, Job reflects on the ways in which humans search for things of value, to mine for silver, to search for gold and iron and copper. He describes the earth as a place of immense value and resource for people. People can cut channels into the rocks and bring to light what is hidden. Then he moves from the awareness of things, which is important but still about tangible objects, to the larger question of where wisdom can be found, because it can't be found in objects, no matter how valuable they are, even pure gold. In today's passage, Job acknowledges that it is only through God that we find wisdom. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. He looks to the end of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Now, the gospel story for today is a story about a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Because of its geography, the Sea of Galilee is subject to sudden, violent storms. Modern observers report that conditions can change from calm and placid to a raging storm in 30 minutes. Luke's account, a gale swept down on the lake and the boat was filling with water and they were in danger, lacks drama, but it provides the essential facts. If it were a televised event, all the cameras would be there and you would experience the full fearsome nature of this storm. Jesus has fallen asleep in the boat, and he is awakened by his disciples when they call him, "Master, Master, we are perishing. We're about to die." Jesus rebukes the wind and the raging waters, and there is calm. Then Jesus asks his friends, "Where is your faith?" The disciples, afraid still, but amazed at what Jesus has done, ask each other, "Who is this man? He even commands the winds and the waters." Now, one way to understand this story is that it demonstrates the presence of God in our lives and reminds us that we should always trust in God. Another understanding is that the disciples, even though they have seen Jesus heal the sick and drive away demons, they still don't fully understand who he is. They are still surprised and amazed when he calms the storm. In other words, they may have knowledge about what Jesus can do, but they still don't have the wisdom to understand who he is. But in this season of creation, and especially on Storm Sunday, I see an invitation to look further. So let me share this passage with you that was written by the letter from the Christian faith leaders about the season of creation. In the season, we offer our reflections on the web of life itself, in the hope that they might provide richer contemplation and deeper responses among us. We acknowledge that creation is given as a gift to all of us, and that we are called to shared responsibility for its protection. We lament that God's creatures are disappearing from the earth at a rate we can scarcely comprehend. From humble insects to majestic mammals, from microscopic plankton to towering trees, creatures from across God's dominion are becoming extinct and may never be seen again. This devastation in itself is a tragic loss, but it is also unjust, as the most vulnerable among us suffer most deeply as the web of life begins to unravel. Our faith calls us to respond to this crisis with the urgency born of moral clarity. So we're not only in the season of creation, we're in the season of hurricanes. And I've been asking myself whether God is speaking to us through the storms. And if that's true, what should we be hearing? There's a lot of information about our climate that we should understand. Warmer sea surface temperatures can intensify tropical storm wind speeds, potentially delivering more damage if they make landfall. Hurricane Dorian is our most recent example. Sea level rise is likely to make future coastal storms, including hurricanes, more damaging. Globally averaged, sea level is expected to rise by 1 to 4 feet during the next century, which will amplify coastal storm surge and probably make All Saints here beachfront property and my home in Alameda underwater in the literal sense. Two hurricanes attained Category 5 strength in September of 2017. Dorian's landfall in the Bahamas this month marked the fourth year in a row that the Atlantic had at least one Category 5 storm. Now, on our side of the country, forest fires and firestorms are probably more of a concern than hurricanes, and they are increasing in frequency and intensity. Did you know that the car fire that killed 8 people and devastated a huge area near Redding last July was an accelerated fire-generated vortex, a massive stream of rising, spinning smoke, ash, and fire that topped out at 17,000 feet above the earth? The vortex was spinning with the power of a Class 3 tornado, which earned its name, Firenado. I could go on, but I won't. There is plenty of information, knowledge, for us to digest on what is happening to our planet. The underlying cause of the warming of this planet is, of course, human activity, especially since the mid-20th century, and is proceeding at a rate that is unprecedented. I think that God does speak to us through the storms. And if the increasing strength of the storms is any indication, I think she wants us to pay more attention than we have been. When will we really listen? When will we as a people, as people of faith, as people, political activists, as the human family of God, whatever description you'd like to use, will find the wisdom to save our world.